mercy and grace in ways we do not expect. We're going to be in Acts chapter 6 tonight. Thank you for that song. My dad, some of you have asked, he was with Eric Tastet this morning in Reno. They're celebrating their 7th anniversary as a church. So Eric asked him to go up there and speak. So he is there today. I know he misses each of you and loves each of you. It was a good morning in church. We had some guests here today. I thought that was fantastic. We had a couple that sat right over there where Lou's at, and Stevie, Bethany, and Brian. There was a lady that sat over there by Pete, right? What was her name? Jessica. Okay, that was awesome. And I thought that was great. They came from the internet. I'm not sure how Jessica heard about our church. Ms. Jampson, I know you talked to her. Did you? That is awesome. Just walking by our church and came in. And sometimes I believe this. I believe that we invite somebody or we invite people, and maybe the people that we invite don't come, but God will send somebody else that will be a result out of just our heart to reach people. And I think on Wednesday night, we were praying in this auditorium that God would use our church to reach into the people in this city. And what did God do this morning? He brought some people here. And I thought that was great. But I'm just so thankful to be here tonight. Acts chapter number 6, my dad asked me to preach a few days ago, this service tonight, and I was thinking, God, what do you want me to preach about? And lately, what I've been doing the last 10 days or so is I've been going through the book of Acts personally and just trying to read it with fresh eyes. You know what it is when you read the Bible and you read a passage about like 20 times, and sometimes you just kind of, okay, I know what's happening next. I know what the next word is. I have this verse memorized. But really trying to read Acts chapter 6, or we'll be there tonight, but really trying to go through Acts and read it with fresh eyes and go through some of the writings of Paul to these churches with fresh eyes. And before we read Acts chapter 6, I want to ask you guys a question. I want you guys to talk back to me. What are the essential elements of a healthy biblical church according to the scriptures? So in other words, repeated themes that we would see over and over again in the New Testament. I'll give you one: sharing your faith. That was something that you see over and over again in the scriptures of people sharing their faith. So what would be some essential elements that we see in the Bible of a healthy church? Somebody talk to me. Larry. That's exactly right. The truth of the Word of God. Good. Yeah. Praying. Absolutely. And there's a lot of things. Like, for example, we do a welcome video before our morning service. But guess what? That's not an essential thing to the gospel. You know, we have screens and different things. Those are fine, but they're not the essential things of a church. This is good stuff. The truth of the Word of God, praying together. I mentioned sharing your faith. Maybe something else. What else? Giving. That is something that we see. Giving. Eric? Fellowship. You're exactly right. Constantly in fellowship, constant connection. And these are things we see over and over again in the local church. We could call them essential things. And for our study tonight, we're going to call some of these things essential. So let's read in verse number 1, and we won't be too long tonight, but let's read Acts chapter 6, verse number 1. It says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in daily ministration." This is a pretty common passage, verse number 2. "And then the 12, these would be the apostles, called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Verse number 3, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Verse number 4, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude. Let's have a word of prayer before we get into it tonight. Father, I pray that you would bless our time together around your word. It's the word of God that changes lives. It's the truth of the word of God that transforms hearts. And Lord, we are gathered around your word tonight. I pray what I say would be helpful. I pray I would say it in the right spirit. I pray you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive your word. Lord, we love you. That's why we're here tonight. Grow us in our understanding of you and in your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. a few thoughts tonight, and I'm going to get right into it. The first thought is this, is the church had to be obedient to the essential things. So the things that we just talked about, the church had to be, they had to be obedient to the essential things. Notice verse 2, it says, the 12 called the multitude of the disciples and said, it's not reason we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So what's happening here is there's some conflict because the widows are being left out. Now, taking care of widows is a very good thing. In fact, in James, it talks about that. And we should care for widows and we should care for those people. But the apostles here say that there's something more important than us taking care of the widows. There's something more important than us spending our time with these different widows. What's the most important thing and essential thing is the word of God and prayer in verse number 2. And this was an essential thing that the church, these church leaders said, we need to focus on and we need to be honest to say, and some people were complaining and saying, hey, these people aren't getting taken care of. And the church leaders, the apostles here say, something needs to happen there, but we need to focus on the most essential things. And they raise up some men to do that. Number 2, the church had to adapt so it could be obedient to the essential things. The church had to adapt so it could be obedient to the essential things. So what was happening here is the apostles had the responsibility we would get from the text to take care of the widows. It was their responsibility to take care of these things. And guess what was happening? The widows are being neglected. Ministry wasn't happening like it was supposed to. So what the apostles said is they had to take a step back and they're like, yes, this is a legitimate thing. Widows need to be taken care of. But for us to do this, what's going to happen is we are going to have to neglect time in the word and time in prayer. So they step back and we see later in the passage, they raised up some men that could meet that need. They had been doing ministry a certain way and said, this is what we're going to do. Instead of us do that, we're going to raise up some leaders in our church, some leaders to do that. Number 3, the church was unified around the essentials. I want to read verse number 5. It says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. So what they do is they stand up and they say, this is what we're going to do. And everybody says, okay, let's do it. I think this is a miracle because that whole church said, that's what I think we should do. I think that we that as apostles, you should give your time to the ministry of the word and prayer. Let me say this. As pastors, we need to give our time to the ministry of word and prayer. If as a pastor, if we're not spending time daily with God and studying out the scriptures and we're not spending time meditating on God's word, then we are neglecting our first responsibility. You read that in 1 Timothy, as pastor's been going through on Sunday nights. But this is a spiritual church because the saying pleased the whole multitude. Peter and John and the apostles, they weren't going to be able to go and make hospital visits anymore. They weren't going to be able to go and visit the widows anymore. And not that they were doing a good job of it, but they weren't going to be able to do that anymore. And the people said, you know what? That's okay, because what's more important is that the church leaders, is that the apostles, is that they give their time to the ministry of the word. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'd rather have the apostle Peter go and visit me and pray for me than some other random guy in the church. That's just me. I'd rather have some of these apostles, but the church was unified around these essential things. Sometimes in church life, no matter where in the country our church is at, or no matter what kind of church it is, sometimes what happens is non-essential things become essential. So essential things sometimes become non-essential. Non-essential things become essential. So sometimes essential things tragically become non-essential. And it's a natural drift. So, for example, I have a friend, and he similar situation as me. He works for his dad. His dad, his name's Mike Norris, and he actually preached here 15 years ago. Anybody remember Mike Norris? Anybody? Okay, so he's phenomenal. He's an incredible pastor. And my friend is around my age. He works for his father's, that church, Franklin Road Baptist Church in Murfreesboro. And they're a great church with a great people, and they love God And what the pastor did is he adapted a few things. And this is what he did is they used to have visitor cards. And some of you guys are going to laugh, but I'm serious. This is exactly what happened. They had visitor cards and they said, we're going to change the name of our visitor cards to connection cards. That's what we're going to do. We're going to change the name of our cards from visitor cards to connection cards. They said, our auditorium is getting full. They had pews in their auditorium. Our auditorium is getting full. And what's happening is guests are coming in and they're like, there's no room. And they're literally walking out the back door and they're leaving. And people are not hearing the gospel. And they're thinking, we got to do something about this. So they decided, just because of where they are in their church life, instead of having two services, they said, what we can do is we can go from pews, let's put some chairs in there, and then we can fit, I think, like 20% more people in there. Let's put some chairs in here, and then we can have more people coming and hearing the gospel. And they had a gospel motive to do this. And then they did one other thing is they put screens in their auditorium. So they did those three things. And what happened is Pastor Mike said that they had some good, solid people in the church come to him and say, listen, I don't like what's happening here. You guys have chairs now. We don't have visitor cards anymore. We have connection cards. I mean, what's going on with our church? And they were people that really loved God. They were good people. But what happened is the people were focused on the non-essential things instead of the essential things. And Pastor Mike sat down with some of these people and said, look, we want these people to get saved, and they're coming in our doors, and there's no room, so they're leaving. And we just have these chairs, so there's more room for people. And that wasn't enough for them. And I thought, man, this is a pastor where he has a gospel motive in what he's doing. He's not trying to be cool or something, a gospel motive. But there were some people that were focused on non-essential things. Let me kind of illustrate this. Some of you guys are looking at me with like a gaze on your face. So we have a dog named Leia. She's a little Yorkie. How many of you are dog people? Okay. Oh, that's awesome. How many of you are cat people? Cat people. We'll pray for some of you cat people. All right. I noticed all the Jensen raised their hand. All right. Cat people. So you have a little dog named Leia, and she's a Yorkie, and she's a sweet little dog. And I think she's a pretty good dog for being a little dog. I'm more of a big dog person, but Leia's sweet. But let's pretend that I started spending more time with Leia than Gina. And in the evenings, Gina would say, hey, what are you doing tonight? Well, I was going to go home, but I'm just going to go pick up Leia, and we're going to go to the dog park, and I'm going to spend the whole evening at the dog park with Leia. And I started taking Leia on walks all the time without her and just really focusing all my attention on Leia. I started taking pictures of Leia and posting pictures of Leia all over my social media, never even thinking about her. And I started giving all of my attention to Leia all of the time. Good thing or bad thing? It's a bad thing. Now, is there anything wrong with Leia at all? No. But this is the problem, is that I elevated Leia to the same level as my wife. And that's where the problem occurred. There's nothing wrong with Leia. Leia's great. But when Leia goes to the same level as my wife, that's a big problem. And sometimes in church life, what we do is we have good things, but we elevate them to the same level as the essential doctrinal things. And that is when it can be very dangerous. Jesus talked about this to the Pharisees, because what the Pharisees had done is they had taken non-essential things and they had elevated them to the importance of essential things. And Jesus warned them about this. Notice, and I'm going to read a few verses here. Jesus didn't condemn the things that they were making a big deal out of, but he was condemning the fact that they had elevated them to the same level as Scripture. And it had messed up their walk because they thought that these things were as important as the essential things. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus, and he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God. So why do they reject the commandment of God? That ye may keep your own tradition. Verse number 13, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. Colossians 2, verse number 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Tradition is a great thing. There's a lot of things we do in our church because we've done them for a while. They are awesome. But the danger is when we elevate tradition to the same level as doctrine. When we elevate things that the Bible isn't clear about to the same things that the Bible is clear about. And when you read in the scriptures of the New Testament, there was this pattern of preaching and truth and fellowship and these things and prayer that were the essential things in a church. There's a pastor named Kerry Schmidt, and he wrote an article about this, and he kind of described it in two words. He described it as brand versus belief. And some of you have been to a ladies retreat at Lancaster Baptist Church, and Kerry Schmidt was, he was their music guy and did music there and moved off to the Northeast, and now he's pastoring a church that's very similar to our church. And he writes about this idea of essential things versus non-essential things. And he uses the words brand versus belief. And this is what he says. He says, your brand comprises a style or how you do things and things that are tied to your context. He asks these questions. He says, as a church, you have to decide what is your passion? What is your cause? What is the flag that you want to wave? What do we want to advance? If it's less than Bible truth, then maybe it's just a brand. And he says that belief is far more significant than a brand. In other words, the fact that we believe that Jesus resurrected from the dead is far more important than the fact that we have chandeliers in here. Is the belief that this is God's inspired word of God is far more important than if we have two chairs up here as opposed to four. And He talks about that the furtherance of biblical truth is far more critical than the furtherance of a certain brand. For instance, I'll give you an example. At one time in churches, week-long revivals were a part of the brand. It was just kind of like what they did, and it was an awesome thing. I'm so thankful for those week-long revivals, and I'm so thankful for that because my dad got saved in a revival like that. And I'm a result. I'm a Christian, obviously, because my dad taught me the scriptures growing up, but he's a Christian because of a week-long revival, which is awesome. But let's pretend that the flag, our passion, was week-long revivals, and that was what we were waving. That was the brand we were waving. And that was kind of our mantra. And week after week, we preach week-long revivals. We need week-long revivals. That's what we need to do. We need week-long revivals. And as opposed to like this morning where we're trying to teach the gospel, which it's so awesome that there are people in our church that have been coming to our church for weeks that they're not Christians. And I was thinking of my buddy Dale. He's been coming for almost 2 months now. And I was talking to him after the service in the office. And I said, man, where are you at as far as with Christianity? I mean, do you understand? I mean, what is it? And he said, I get it. But for my whole life, I've just trusted myself. And for me to transfer that trust from myself to Jesus is just, I don't know. And it's like, man, he's coming. And I'm thinking, there are people here that need the truth of the gospel. And sometimes what we do is, if we're not careful, thankfully we don't do it in our church, but if we wave a certain brand, this is what's most important, this is what's most important, this is a big deal, sometimes it causes us to devalue the most important things, which is the gospel. What we do if we're not careful is we're teaching a generation or a people that a form of a church service is as critical or as significant and as valuable as the doctrine that we're not preaching. Because if I'm preaching all about this brand and all about these things, a lot of times what I'm doing is I'm not teaching doctrine, I'm not teaching grace. And what we want here at Calvary Baptist Church is for people to be rooted in biblical truth. Amen. We want people to be rooted in the Word of God. This is what we want to wave around. We want to wave around the truth of the gospel and the truth of who Jesus is. And Kerry Schmidt writes this. He says, elevating a brand to the same value or emphasis as Bible doctrine isn't elevation at all. It's actually devaluation of doctrine. And one of the greatest ways to elevate doctrine is to clearly distinguish it from the brand or lesser important ministry traditions. So let's do this for a second, a little exercise. Let's talk about brand versus belief in our church, because we do a lot of awesome things in our church, and I love it. But let's talk just for a minute about the difference between like brand versus belief. In other words, non-essential things to essential things, okay? So I'm going to say something, and you tell me essential or non-essential. The Word of God. The Gospel. Announcement video. What do you mean? We put a lot of work into those. A microphone. Air condition. Now, some of you guys ought to think about that one. Okay. What about this? Two chairs on the auditorium, on the platform, as opposed to four chairs on the platform. Connection with other believers. But do you see how easy it is as a church for us to drift into make a big deal out of things that are non-essential? I do it. Sometimes I'll go on vacation, I'll be visiting somewhere, and I'm like, this church, they don't do this. Well, this is what we do at Calvary. And then I catch myself, like, I'll give you a classic example. I went somewhere and they sang all five verses of the song, right? So instead of like, we sing two, you know, or three, whatever, they sang all five. And I'm like, I can't even hardly sing this. I'm getting bored with these words. Like I just sang, you know, five times or whatever. They sing every verse in the hymn. And then I'm like, you know what I'm doing right now? Instead of worshiping God with this hymn, I'm just focused on something that's non-essential. And my heart is more wrapped about around that than it is about the doctrine of who I'm singing about. And I'm like, what am I doing? And it's so easy as a church for us to drift into focusing on non-essential things that are good things as opposed to essential things. Okay, here we go. Let's keep this exercise up, all right? The choir singing one song on Sunday morning as opposed to two songs like we used to. Essential or non-essential? Non-essential. Some of you choir members said essential, okay? Our service starting at 11 a.m. Essential or non-essential? Non-essential, okay? And all I'm trying to get us to do is think here. All I'm trying to get us to do is to be able to be a healthy church and to be able to distinguish between what is essential and what is non-essential. And a lot of times, nobody would say that the church makes a big deal out of non-essentials. If you went to a church that makes a huge deal out of non-essentials, nobody in that church is going to say, we make a big deal about non-essentials. Like, this is way more important than preaching. This is way more important than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They would never say that. But get this. But functionally, practically what they talk about, how they think, would say something different. And the message is often more about brand than it is about biblical belief. And it's almost as if our doctrine is not enough and we get bored with it. It's like we have to focus on these other things. And I want to say this, is that doctrine is incredible. The older I get, I'm studying out some of these doctrines and I'm like, they have such huge implications for the way we live our Christian lives. And the doctrine that we have that was delivered unto us is something that is precious and something that's valuable and something that is so rich and so deep. We can never get bored with it. And doctrine is what's going to change the lives of people in our church. Brand is not produced by doctrine. Brand is produced by groups of men. Bible truth doesn't produce a brand. Bible truth produces new life. And again, there's nothing wrong with a brand. There's nothing wrong with the style. But the problem comes is when we elevate it to the same level of the essential things of a church. A brand will not ground you spiritually or root you emotionally. Only the Bible can do that. Bible truth is something, if doctrine produced a brand, then all Christians of every culture and era would have been exactly the same in many ways. Bible doctrine will be a foundation for you and for future foundations because it is eternal. Brand makes you feel comfortable in the moment. It's like a security blanket. But doctrine isn't about how I feel, but it's about truth and promise, eternal hope. Brand draws you together with others like you, but doctrine ties you to a faithful body of biblical believers and followers of Christ across many cultures around the world, and many brands. A brand will eventually die, but the belief is that which you would die. Brand will age, but belief never ages, because Jesus promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. His word is eternal. His word is indestructible, while brands are not. If we're going to be a healthy church, we need to focus on what the Bible says. And if there are things that the Bible says that we should be as a church and we're not, we should evaluate that. And we should go back to this is what the scriptures say. Because the essential things of a church are so important that we can't elevate anything else to the same level as essentials. The preaching of the Word of God is so important that there are very few things I could put on the same level as the preaching of the Word of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ and his resurrection is so transformative. There is nothing that I can put on the same level as that, because that is an essential thing. What's going to make our church last for decades to come, and what's going to make our church thrive, is when we are a church that's focused on the essential things. When we are a church that says, this is what the Word of God says, and this is what we are going to be passionate about. The essential things are the things that should make our church tick, the things that we should be passionate about. And because these things are so important, we cannot afford to let anything that's non-essential get in the way. Acts chapter 6, we read it in the beginning. Acts chapter 6, the essential thing, the Word of God, the essential thing, prayer. They said this: we need to take a step back. We can't give ourselves to anything else because this is essential. Widows, you're going to have to let somebody else go and visit you because this is so essential that we're going to have to adjust for the sake of the essential things. And church, may we be a people that love doctrine, that love the Word of God, that love the gospel, that love the essential things. And we love those things so much, we're not going to let anything else be in the same level as those essential things. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, I pray that we would be a healthy church. I pray that we would be a church.